Tonight on the show, we have a CrossFit orgy, James goes channel surfing, and Mike defends his Twinkies. This special episode of the Survival Punk Podcast brought to you by JMBullion.com for all your gold and silver needs. Free shipping on all orders over $100. JMBullion.com. Also, CampingSurvival.com. If you're bugging in or bugging out, you can't go wrong with CampingSurvival.com, a great place to get fish antibiotics. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee, a great way to wake up in the morning with a variety of delicious flavors. Helping out the local indigenous workers to earn a fair wage, and proceeds go toward helping a local orphanage. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. WellFoodCo.com, home of the Paleo MRE, inventor of the Carne Bar. Try their delicious paleo cookies for that sweet sensation of health. WellFoodCo.com. And also brought to you by the Greening Out podcast at greeningout.co.uk. For libertarians with a Scottish accent. Hello and welcome to the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike. I know this opening sounds a little bit weird, but my partner is taking a poop right now. But we have a very special interview that we're going to be playing right after this. It is with Gary Collins. And he does all this stuff about paleo, and he hates sugar. So, without further ado, our interview with Gary Collins.
It's my great pleasure today to welcome Gary Collins from the Primal Power Method. Gary, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, James and Mike.
Oh, it's great to have you here.
Yeah, I've listened to a bunch of your podcast appearances before on my buddy Jack Spirico's show. I myself am a one-time appearance guest of the Survival Podcast, so it's great to have you on. And oddly enough, I've been looking for paleo primal people to get on the show recently, just because I've not had anyone on recently to talk nutrition, which I really geek out about. Like that's like I love survival, but I can geek out on nutrition so much. Like, last year I lost 80 pounds.
Yeah, you did. You lost a small human.
Yeah. And that was, you know, I even like knew good nutrition, but I had to tweak a few things. So just real quick, tell us who Gary Collins is.
Well, that's a good one. Interesting. My background's pretty interesting. Professional background is former military intelligence, naval officer as well, former federal agent, U.S. State Department, Health and Human Services, and the last part was the Food and Drug Administration. Been a lifelong athlete, always been interested in health, you know, started helping people work out and deal with nutrition back in my 20s. So I've been at it a long time. I'm turned 45 here pretty soon. So I've been around, and, you know, the Primal Power Method came about with my experience working with the government and and seeing what goes on in the health industry, our food industry, and our drug industry. And I was pretty alarmed, to be honest with you. It scared the crap out of me. And I realized, you know, once you get on the right path, everything changes. And I think people always wonder, they go, well, how the heck does prepping and survivalism have anything to do with health and nutrition? I go, you gotta be kidding me, right? That's where it all starts. If you don't start with that foundation in self-sufficiency, you're missing the boat. You know, that's, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And so people are starting to catch on the relationship and why I consider myself part of the survival movement and self-sufficiency movement, and also into the health and wellness on the natural side. Because it all ties together. Because it's about changing your life. So yes. That's briefly about me and my beliefs and what I do.
Yes, I love that. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted you on the podcast so much. I feel that nutrition and fitness is the greatest prep that is overlooked. You may have a year's worth of stored food. It's probably junk. It's probably going to kill you. You know, but you can't go up the stairs without huffing and puffing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see some of the stuff some of these guys store? They have just troves and troves of junk food.
Yes.
I'm all, what are you doing? I mean, I think it's just like anything. When it becomes popular, people just take it in the wrong direction. And I think people are starting to catch on a little better. But understanding that just hoarding food, it's hoarding the right food and what you need, but you're going to have to go get it. If something goes wrong, you're not going to be able to rely on that, 50 packs of Twinkies you stored away.
But I need those Twinkies.
Oh my God.
Yeah. it's not going to work that way. So I think people are starting to catch on though on the health side. And that's one thing I did notice is, a lot of preppers and people in the survival world are overweight.
Yes.
I did notice that. And yes. I found it kind of interesting and shocking, to be honest with you.
It's very, prevalent that, it's a bad source, but if you just happen to watch any of the prepper shows, you will see, 9 out of 10 of them overweight?
I'm not overweight, I'm just under tall.
Yes. so it's pretty terrible. And just to sort of speak that you can be a prepper and store healthy food, I've been living off of a good portion of my food preps for the past few months, during a move and a job transition, and I've stayed 95% paleo. I mean, I took a week where I ate MREs, but besides that, I've ate paleo primal food, approved foods, from my preps. So I've maintained my health and ate prep. So it's not hard. I mean, I don't understand the disconnect with people. People are like, when I go on interviews, I'm always like, well, what do you store as a prepper? And I'm like, food. I mean, meat and veggies and fruits. I mean, I don't store grains, but everything else. Yeah. I mean, so.
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually a lot simpler that way. If you look at it from a health perspective, your food supplies and what you store will be very basic, very simple. Instead of these complicated, multifaceted food storing systems and all that, just making it more complicated than it really needs to be. And when it comes to your protein source, I mean, if you're truly doing this right, well, you're going to have to go get it through hunting and fishing. You can only store so much. My attitude's always been, if you have to store that much food and the world is that bad of a place, you might want to rethink the whole concept. If the world turns to shit and I'm miserable, well, why do I want to be in it? That 8 years of, stored dried rice isn't going to do me any good.
No.
I'm going to live an unhealthy life. I'm not going to be happy, and that's how I look at it. It's, I don't do what I do for, a mass catastrophe or the world ending. I do it for freedom. That's why I do it. I mean, that's the whole concept of what I teach. It's about, health freedom and life freedom, freeing yourself from the constraints of today's society.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really associate myself on the prepper side per se, even though obviously I'm in that world. But to me, I think for me, that's a little more extreme than where I'm at. I'm more of looking at it as, if I want, my grandparents stored food, but they weren't storing food because they were, preparing for the end of the world. They stored food so it wouldn't go bad and they could utilize it all year long.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like my words are being parroted back to me. I love it. I've had people throw the argument at me before, but I have to store wheat because it lasts 30 years. I don't want to eat 30-year-old anything. I really don't. I want to go hunt and gather new fresh food because it has higher nutritional value. Because nothing, I mean, yeah, it may still be edible after 30 years, but the nutritional value is going to be crap. I mean, obviously wheat nutritional value is crap anyway.
Once again, quit talking about my Twinkies. Yes. I need those.
I'm happy that I love that we're going off topic because it means that, you know, we're having good conversation flow.
And I'm not surprised you haven't had very many people from my genre on. And that's a sticking point I have with the group as well, that consider themselves primal and paleo in New York and Malibu. I'm kind of confused how that really is primal or paleo when you're going to the, you know, getting your face stretched and doing all kinds of other interesting things.
Yeah.
I'm just confused, but they don't fit in this world and they don't care to. They like the moniker, but they don't want to play in the sandbox. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just because you make paleo pancakes and put a cute little recipe on it and maybe some cookies and then write a cute little cookbook, that's not really paleo. That's just being kind of an idiot and trying to make money is how I look at it. I mean, if you're going to live the lifestyle, you got to live the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and so has it been really difficult for you to even find anyone to come on?
I've got one other person that I'm going to like to come on here. He does the Cooking Caveman blog, and Jeff Nimoy. I don't know if you know him.
I do.
Yes.
I know the name. He is in one of my paleo blogger groups, I think, or something like that, that I don't even participate in. I just get the updates and I see his name all the time. Yes,
I'm in there too.
Are you?
Okay. Yeah. He has really good recipes, and a lot of them are, like I said, really simple, few ingredients. That's what I like. He has the best /easiest paleo bread recipe I've ever seen. Nice. Know, which I make like once every 2 years. I mean, I don't care for bread at all. But when I do, you know, his is like, you know, organic eggs and almond butter. Yes, I can do that. I can mix two things together and throw in the oven.
I'm with you.
So back on track. So you said that you work for the FDA, and I have to sort of dig into that just a little bit before we get into the primal power method. Are there any stories you can share that you're not like, you know, non-disclosure act from saying like, I read in your bio that you took part in some really good busts of like some nasty people. Do you have any like horror stories that are really scary that
any
you can
nightmares
share?
You're allowed to elaborate on, so to speak?
Yeah, there's actually a few that I usually talk about because the cases have already gone through and they're done. They're public record. Mm-hmm. But probably the one, there was two that really scared me and kind of finalized my thought process of I've got to do something else. And one was the pet food case where all the animals were killed through the importation of a tainted, basically, protein enhancer is how it ended up. It was melamine. I think that's what ended up being in it. It's been a long time since I've looked at that. But I did the search warrant on that case. I was the lead who did that. It wasn't my case, but it was in our jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. And just to see the pure greed of the people who imported the ingredient and their absolute lack of remorse for what they had done. And I had, you know, cause we got a lot of the victims who, you know, I mean, these were elderly people. These were their only, you know, companion, and they had to watch their pets die this horrific death.
Now, was that the one I heard about
a
few years back?
I'm a pet lover, and it pissed me off. And it was, I think it ended up being over 10,000 pets.
Oh.
Died. Yeah, it was a lot.
Was that the one where it was making their kidneys shut down?
What's that?
Was that the case I heard about a few years where all those, where their like kidneys and stuff were shutting down?
Yeah, it would actually, what happens is the melamine would be it's a fine kind of almost, like glass. It's very small, and what it would do is it would basically just shred their liver and their kidneys, and they would die these horrific, painful deaths. And there was nothing you could do once the process had started. They'd ingested this food. I don't think very many survived. And if they did, they had major liver and kidney damage afterwards.
Oh my God.
I never actually had the proof to back it up, but I'm pretty sure because it was during that time and we had switched pet foods that that's when I lost my Dachshund.
Purina. Yeah, Purina was the main.
Purina.
Yeah, it was, we had switched to Purina. I had a Dachshund and her kidney shut down and I never had actual proof, but I always suspected because like right after that's when I started hearing about all the pet deaths.
Yeah.
Yep. That was it. That was it.
I definitely want to thank you for your part in that. Like, So I state that I'm an anarchist, but when the government does something that I think is good, I'll give them a hand when I think of it. So that's definitely, kudos to you for taking out those motherfuckers.
It's just the lack of remorse that he was talking about a minute ago. They just, I mean,
yeah. I mean, I'm all for.
It was a husband wife and, literally they didn't give a shit. They did not care. They were more upset that they got caught and they tried to do the dance that they didn't know. And it was obvious that they knew exactly what they were doing. You know, and it was because they got the product for 25 cents on the dollar and his wife was of Chinese descent from China. And guess where they imported it from?
Wonderful.
China.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And anyone who knows how China works and how their products are made and the things they'll put in them. I would never even think of buying a food product from China. Mm. Ever.
No.
I don't care what it is.
No.
There's no way. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty disturbing. And then on the tail end. And then at the very end, I was involved in a case with a partner of mine in my office. And we did a case on a, oncologist who was basically importing counterfeit chemotherapy drugs from India.
Counterfeit chemotherapy drugs?
Yeah. Oh my. And people don't understand, chemotherapy drugs are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking $5,000 a vial.
Yeah.
And not only is it expensive, but once you put a needle in that vial to draw it out, you cannot use it again. You have to throw away whatever is left.
Oh.
So, yeah, you can't reuse it. And he was bringing them in for same thing, about 25 cents on the dollar, bringing it in and having his nurses mule it in. And he would mule it in himself because he was from India originally. Mm-hmm. And then they would dilute it down another 75%. So they were buying it 25 cents on the dollar. And then they were giving the patient 25% of the drug. And don't get me wrong. Chemotherapy, that's a can of worms.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It kills you slowly, and they've proven that if you get cured of cancer through chemotherapy, within a couple of years, you'll likely die of something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's – good God. That's a lot to take. The fact that there's people out there that would counterfeit chemotherapy, there's a special place in hell for bastards like that. I'm sorry.
We lost Gary.
We lost Gary? Oh, well, this is splendiferous. This show is getting off to a rip-roaring start.
Oh, my God. What happened? Hello?
Sorry about that. Where did that drop out?
I think you had just finished, and we were making comments. So, we're good on that. I had a feeling when you got quiet, so editing it shouldn't be too hard.
You don't edit anything. Don't lie to the man.
I will have to edit this one. little bit.
Editing's a waste of time.
It kind of is, yeah. I don't.
Keep it raw. Keep it real.
Yes. I don't do a whole lot of editing. We do cuss on the show. That's just the nature of the beast.
Yep.
So if you feel the need to drop an F-bomb, go right ahead. We don't care.
The old sailor's going to come out. They'll start dropping left and right.
It's so funny. When we first started off this show, he wanted to be very proper about it. No foul language, no vulgarity. But if you go back a few episodes, you'll hear us repeatedly telling Michael Moore to eat a bowl of dicks. So
he deserved it. Yeah.
The whole thing about snipers.
The sniper. Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Which episode's that?
I don't know.
Oh, it was one of the last, I'd say, five episodes, maybe about five episodes ago.
Something like that, yeah. We'll have to check it. So
I'll go listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got some good ones. So on the flip side, I've heard you talk about how much you do love freedom. The FDA kind of has some shady history. I mean, just with the founding of the FDA and the founder going and working for a big food company and then coming back and making laws. So do you have any comments on that? Can you say anything? Cause I know you did leave them. So
yeah, well, the cross pollination between the FDA and companies like Monsanto and DuPont.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious. It's all public record.
Yes.
Anyone can look it up. I mean, there's flow charts on it. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that government employees are allowed to go over to a company that we're supposed to be regulating.
Yes.
And watching, and then go into their upper echelon of management. Shouldn't that be a crime in itself? I mean,
yes.
There's no way you should ever be allowed to do that.
Yes. And come back. Which I've heard that they've gone, you know, worked for like a Monsanto company, then came back to the FDA, and that I mean, automatic, you know, that's just disgusting. Mm-hmm. Do not like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's...
Oh, it's my phone. So yeah, no, that's pretty. Yeah, so I guess we won't dig too much in that. So. What is the primary?
It's tough because people, I've been actually asked to write tell-all books and all that when I first got out. And I went, are you kidding me? You know, that's the last thing I want to do is completely destroy my life. And my attitude is I'd rather stick to the positive.
Yes.
You know, there's much more, it's energy better spent. I had to live through it. It's painful enough that I had to be there and watch some of this stuff and deal with, the bureaucracy and the stupidity of the federal government and my bosses, who some were completely so idiotic and stupid that if it wasn't for the job they had, they would literally starve to death.
Yeah.
I mean, we had two statements in the government. Shit floats to the top and you have to be a fuck up to move up.
Yeah.
And it was, I used to, when I first started, I thought, oh man, these are some really bitter, negative people here. Dang, you know, I'm a guy in my 20s.
Yeah.
Going, hey, I'm here to kick ass. You know, where's my gun? Where's my badge? Let's roll. And then, you know, you get the old timers and you start to hear this stuff and you're like, oh my God. And then you're about 10 years deep into it and you go, holy cow, these guys were right. I mean, they would, you just had to be a special form of moron to be a boss. In most government agencies, it was nepotism at its best too. I mean, I couldn't believe the things I saw.
I always suspected that, you know, about government agencies that you fail upwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
the best and brightest, the rule was the smart guys and gals who are working there and actually, you know, proactive and ambitious, their life cycle is about 5 to 7 years and they pop out. The rest stay. I don't want to say about everyone because I have still some very good friends who are really good people who work in the government. You know, my brother's in the military.
Yes.
So I don't want to throw a blanket statement out there because there's a lot of good people fighting the good fight.
No, we have the utmost respect.
Majority of them are shitbirds. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, I mean, I am pretty anti-government, but when there are good people like your friends and like yourself when you were the FDA, I'd rather there be some good people like that in there than all those idiots that flowed to the top like you're talking about. I mean, you've done good work with the FDA. I mean, you helped shut down some really nasty people, which is amazing. So, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't do any good, but
and that's the thing too, is people think I'm totally, you know, 100% anti-government now and all that. I'm not. I mean, every society needs some form of government. You know, utopian experiments don't work. Yes. You know, something always goes wrong. I wish, you know, that human nature was of the set that we could treat all of each other equally and get along. But human nature just isn't that way. I don't know what it is, but people have this j- just desire to dominate and make other people miserable. I mean, what we do to ourselves is unbelievable. I mean, the human race should be living this beautiful life, and yeah. things should go so well, and instead we just torture ourselves, and I don't understand it. I don't get it.
No. Well, let's get off of the government, because I could spend the entire episode on there, but let's talk about what we really brought you on the show for, and mm-hmm. that's, what is the Primal Power Method?
The Primal Power Method is basically a program that I devised from my experience based on five primary principles, and I call them the Primal Power Method principles. And the first one is knowledge is power. And that is, in anything you do, you have to know about it. You have to educate yourself. You just can't go in willy-nilly and expect results. It's kind of the fad diet rule. That's why fad diets don't work. First of all, because most of them are garbage, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's to give you the easiest path possible instead of educating you on what you need to know and what you need to do. I find with clients and people have far more success if they understand what they're doing and not just doing it blindly and just going off a checklist. Number two is avoid extremes. And that's, you know, the tortoise and the hare. You know, it's go slow. Do something constantly every day. Keep making progress. Don't make these big shifts and wild swings in what you're trying to do. Number three is my favorite. Keep it simple. Yes. And that's from, you know, almost two decades in the federal government and dealing with every convoluted and stupid process known to man. My attitude is just keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't go down these rabbit holes when it comes to nutrition and health. It's going to screw you up every time. Four is something is better than nothing. So even if you can't fully commit, do something. Just take action. And that leads into the fifth one, which is take action today and every day. So don't go through the usual, you know, everyone in life who does a diet plan, they do it well for about 2 or 3 weeks, then they jump off for a month, then they jump back in, then they jump out. And you got to have an approach of, I have to do something every day, something every day to better my health. So that's basically where the Primal Power Method came from. Like I said, is my experience and a lot of self-experimentation, working with other people, and my federal government experience of seeing the inside of the food and drug industry.
Excellent. Good stuff. I definitely like the improving every day. Because I know there's, oh man, there's so many people that are like, I don't have this. I might as well just eat a fucking bagel. Probably not the best idea, you know.
Yeah, people just throw in the towel.
Yes,
you know, because it's painful.
I mean, it's a change. But it's just I don't know. I've been doing Paleo Primal for God so many years now. You know, with a couple, I don't know, a couple slip off the wagons here and there. I'd say, you know, most of the time, every day I try to make a better choice. Which I still do cheat days, and I don't even feel guilty about it. I plan, you know, a cheat day either once a week or once a month. And you know, there's no like food narcosis about it. Like I just, you know, it's cheat day and I get out of my system. And then the next day you start making smarter choices again.
Yeah. It's usually whatever day you come over here.
Yeah, which is pretty much always Friday or Saturday. So it's usually like, you know, 6-7 days in between.
Yeah, you know, and that's the approach, you know, that I teach. You know, it's a typical 80-20 rule. If you can follow it 80% of the time and 20% you fall off the wagon here and there, you're fine. You're totally fine.
Yes.
And I'm not a food Nazi and I never want to be that way. I don't live my life that way. I see the people who literally every day focuses around their exercise and eating routine. They think about it constantly. Yes. And that is actually the opposite of what I teach them all. Eventually, you don't want to think about it. You just do it. Yeah. And that's how I go through my day. You know, people always ask me my eating schedule and what I eat. And I go, shit, I don't know. Yeah. I eat when I'm hungry and I eat what I have.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't plan it out. You know, it's just, I don't have to anymore. I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah. I know when I give advice and people email me for, you know, stuff. One of the biggest things I like to teach is, you know, if you have a cheat, don't freak out about it. Like some people, you know, it's like,
yep.
Oh, I ate a slice of pizza. Fuck it all. I might as well just go off the diet. No. And there's guilt about it. Like people just get like this is so mentally guilt up. You know, I'm like, no, enjoy that pizza. It was delicious. You liked it. Enjoy it. Be okay with it. Start tomorrow. Yeah. You know, start the next meal. Make the next decision.
It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
And you know, our bodies are highly resilient. You know, it's when you start pouring poison into it every single day.
Yes.
That's when the problem occurs. If you do it occasionally, well, guess what happened in nature? There's a lot of toxic chemicals in nature that we are exposed to every single day. Our bodies know how to deal with them, but we've gotten very creative by dumping large sources of them into our mouths.
Yes.
And then, that leprechaun blowing that horn, he's good. And, can you guys hear that?
Yeah, I had my phone charging, and it was the notification telling me that the phone is charged. Annoyingly. So I unplugged it. Yeah, I have enough power to last
just,
now.
It's just don't stress out about it. You know, stress will make you unhealthy and fat as well.
Yes.
And we're under enough stress as it is. You know, like tonight, I rode my bike for 2.5 hours. I'm tired. I haven't eaten all day. I'm a faster. I don't do it just to torture myself. There's days when I'm just not hungry and I don't eat for most of the day and I'm going to have a burrito. So what?
Yeah, exactly. Today is cheat day. It's a cheat meal. I've eaten, you know, standard paleo primal all day long. Later after this podcast, I'm going to eat some pizza and I'm going to like it too. And then tomorrow.
That's going to be good.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
look forward to it. You know what it does too is it gives you something to look forward to. And you use it, I use it as a tool to incentivize myself and people I work with. You know, cause the first question I get when I work with people, they go, so how many cheat days do I get? I go, well, you don't get any in the beginning. That's not how it works.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, you haven't earned the right to cheat. When you get there, I'll let you know. And I just had a client hit me up, they liked, sweet potatoes and they had to cut them out and I went, well, they're healthy, but you know, they were like, I eat them every single day. I love them. I'm all, well, we're trying to lose weight here.
Yeah.
It's still a starchy carb, even though it's paleo primal. You need to back off on that.
Yes.
You know, let's take that out. Give it to yourself as a treat once a week. And that they went, oh, okay. I get it. I get it now. I said, look forward to it. So when you get it, you know, it's a reward and that's how you have to look at it. You know, make those a reward. Don't make them a staple or a failure.
Exactly.
That's the key.
Oh. So much good.
But speaking on the resilience, I often find it amazing how humans have managed to expand their lifespans in a world that's not fit to live in, where most of the food isn't really food.
Yeah. Well, and that's just propping up a sick organism. And the reason we live longer, obviously, is because we live in these little, nicely, temperature controlled boxes. Mm-hmm. We no longer have to hunt for our food. We're no longer hunted, except for ourselves. Only predator we gotta worry about is other humans.
Yep, modern technologies told Darwin to go fuck himself, basically.
Basically, yeah, you know, we talk about that we're living longer, and I hear that argument all the time, and I go, and I'm not a deeply religious guy by any stretch, but, you know, I had to go to Sunday school, I had to read the Bible, and they talk about, you know, people living 125, 200 years. So I'm like, well, maybe we missed something along the road. Maybe we actually did live a lot longer, and now we're dying much sooner because we are poisoning ourselves. I don't know. No one really truly knows the answer to that. But we're living longer than we have historically, and it's just because our lives are easier. You know, if you put your dog out in nature, the odds of your dog living 14, 15 years are slim to none.
Yeah.
Because the pack's going to take that dog out once it becomes sick. So it's probably going to make it maybe 5, 6, 7 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Totally different. And that's why I always hear that argument. I go, that's just a stupid argument. You're not comparing apples to apples. You're just not. I mean, a broken ankle to a caveman is a death sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't escape. You can't do anything. You can't lay around for, you know, 2 months waiting for it to heal and heal probably crooked. Then what? You know, now you're just nothing but a treat. You're a slow-moving treat.
Yes. Oddly, I was just watching a like a Discovery Channel special on, they think they found actual historical documents of the Garden of Eden.
What?
Yeah, but it was an area that was destroyed by a flood. Thus, you could never return to Eden. And the people that lived there, Adam and Eve and their tribe or whatever, were definitely hunter gatherers pre, agriculture, pre bread and all that. So those people would have been living longer, living a pure paleo lifestyle. Which obviously I thought was kind of neat. I'm like, yeah, so Eden was a paleo hunter gatherer, lifestyle.
And if you look at it this way, Adam and Eve ate literally the most deadly poison that has ever existed on the planet, still managed to live into their 900s.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point. I can't believe I missed that program. I'm a Discovery Channel-aholic.
Maybe it wasn't Discovery Channel, but yeah.
Or was it Discovery or History?
I don't think it was History. It was either Discovery or some other channel that I saw on satellite. If I could find it, I'll shoot you a link. It was definitely an interesting program.
I would love, yeah. And I tell people, just use common sense. I mean, if you were to go prehistorically and go back in time, well, what would you have around you? I mean, what would you be able to eat? Because people that I work with always want to eat all the fruit they can and honey and maple syrup because it's paleo. And I go,
No.
How would you find that stuff? First of all, fruit would be hard to find. And if you did find it, it would be much smaller and bitter. It definitely wouldn't be as sweet as it is now. And honey has bees. Those will kill you. And, you know, maple syrup, who knows? Did they know about it? I don't know. I mean, you know, tapping it out of a maple, I don't know. They always look at it as what would always be there, winter, summer, spring, fall, animals.
Yes.
There's always going to be animals. Well, those animals aren't there for us just to look at. They were there for us to eat, just like other animals eat other animals. And it's the most dense nutrient source you can find in nature is another animal.
Yes.
You know, and it's just like use your head. I mean, you know, I understand veganism and people think I'm totally opposed to vegetarians and vegans, and I'm really not. It's like whatever works for you is fine. I don't preach it. I don't believe in it myself, but to them, I think it's more of a philosophical debate. It's more of a, you know, torturing animals. That's how they look at it. That's totally fine. But there is no evidence of any vegans in nature because you will die. You cannot survive on just eating purely shrubs and grubs and fruit. You won't make it. You would literally have to eat all day long because you expend so much more energy living life in nature.
And, you know, something I would actually have to add to that argument about, you know, there being no vegans in nature, people might pull out, well, what about deer and cows and everything? Well, I've literally seen videos of cows eating baby chicks, of deers eating carcasses. Most things that people consider herbivorous turn out to be,
omnivores?
Yeah, some type of
just
omnivore,
like monkeys. They used to think monkeys were, all they did was eat vegetation and bananas. Hell, they eat each other. They eat bugs. You know, when they kill one in their pack, they eat them. They cannibalize them.
Oh yeah, like chimps. If any other monkey comes into their territory, they will rip it apart and they'll trade parts of that monkey to the females for sexual favors.
There you go.
Yeah. And people just, they're so out of touch with reality of thinking that, you know, you just have to go to the grocery store and get your food. And those poor animals, I can't believe you guys go eat them. That is terrible. And you just go, I don't want to tell you, I don't want to have bad gas, have severe cognitive problems, and be thin, frail, and grouchy. That's not my style. And I've noticed the hardcore vegans who have their channels and all that, they're full of it. They're not true vegans. They're out eating meat.
Disgusting. It's all a game. I've seen a couple that you look at them and you're like, you look like a disgusting corpse.
Oh God. Then you've got your Diet Coke and Oreo vegetarians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the easiest sign I always tell people how to spot them, because I actually shop in a store that is heavy vegan and vegetarian. It's a great store, though. but the clientele is heavily in that direction.
Yeah.
And I go, look for the person hunched over, lost, with dark bags under their eyes. I went, that's the vegan.
Yeah.
Almost every time. And I say, watch out for when they get in their car, because there's a good chance they're going to kill you because they don't even know you're there.
Yeah.
I've literally almost been killed in that parking lot several times by what I thought was a vegan, by the looks of them. Yes. I mean, they had no clue where I was. Couldn't even see me. And I was right in front of them.
That's
just off in La La Land.
Yeah. I guess I really have like sort of two problems with vegans, vegetarians. A lot of them I would not actually consider to be vegans, vegetarians because they, okay. So if I was going to eat a vegetarian lifestyle, I would eat vegetables. I would not eat Diet Coke and Oreos, and yep. I would not eat grains. I would go with vegetable sources, leafy greens, and good, healthy, non-animal-based fats. Coconut oil, avocados, you know, that. And I think that if you did that, you could possibly have some semblance of health. But if you're eating, like, seitan and tofu and soy, seitan's a tofu soy thingy.
It's you just, can hear me asking the question in my brain,
yeah.
Couldn't you?
Well, I was about ready gluten? To go to, it's like gluten. What the yeah. heck is
I'm
Satan?
Like, you're eating Satan?
Yeah, so, I mean, those people, you could just see that they're so unhealthy. And the other one, if they're doing it, you know, because they don't want animals killed, if they, and I think they overlooked this fact, because, you know, a lot of people, if they don't agree with the fact, they'll just overlook it and justify it, that when they harvest those grain fields, they slaughter tons and hundreds and thousands of, like, you know, rodents and small, you know, furry creatures.
Oh, yeah, that end up in their wheat. It's proven. Food manufacturers are given leeway on, you know, rat feces and rat, you know, and, you know, varmint remains. I mean, there's regulations written in of how much you can get away with because they know there's no way to eliminate it.
Yeah.
If you're going to go through a field with a big harvester with blades on the end of it, there's going to be some animals in there.
Oh, God,
unavoidable.
Yeah.
You can't avoid it. And not only that, but they always give you the argument of, you know, that animals take so much more resources than plants. And I go, you are full of it. Monocropping is one of the most detrimental things you can do to the land. Just like CAFO operations, confined animal feeding operations, are too. There's none is better than the other. When you do a proper polyculture kind of farm and rotate your animals. And I've actually, you'll like this. I've met former vegans who went and started their own little kind of organic farm. And they soon realized that the planting would not work without animals. They had to have animals in this circle of life or their crops would not grow properly or they would die. The soil would become degraded. And they finally caught on and went, oh shit. We have to have animals.
Yeah.
And they started catching on. Guess what they started eating eventually?
Animals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just we're completely disillusioned. We're lost. And for me, people always say, well, you know, it's just happened recently. No, we lost our way a long time ago.
Yes.
It's been decades ago. It's just now culminating and people are starting to go, oh, this sucks.
Yes. I was talking to someone, so I have a friend that I just met, and she has Crohn's. And it seems like more and more people I know, like, and I remember a time in my life where I knew no one that had, like, any cancer or any, like, you know, autoimmune diseases. And now it's like, it's hard to really find someone that doesn't, like, I've met and know so many people that have, you know, various autoimmune diseases, and it really seems like it's popping up more and more and more.
Well, and there's a good reason for that. There's been a guy, can't remember his first name right now. But he wrote, Pottinger's Prophecy. Yeah, I hope I have the book title right too. He wrote about there was a study done by Dr. Pottinger a long time ago he wrote with Dr. Price, Weston A. Price.
Yes.
About cats. And
yes!
they did an experiment on cats and how many
study,
generations
yes.
it would take by feeding them a unnatural diet, which they gave, if I hope I get my facts right, it's been a long time. I think one set got raw, unpasteurized milk, and the other group got pasteurized milk. Got it, you know. And the group that got pasteurized milk eventually became ill, but it takes about three generations for basically reproduction to start being unable to the animal to reproduce. And they started getting genetic defects,
yes,
real severe ones.
Like, well, guess where we're at? Faces and mutations. Think about it. Yeah.
The 1940s was basically the beginning of industrial farming, canned, you know, a lot of canned foods, mm-hmm, a lot of, you know, simplified foods, highly processed foods. Well, that was the first generation, was my mom's generation, that got really exposed to highly processed food. Well, then the second generation is us, is me. Well, I don't know how old you guys are. Well, it's me. Well, now the kids that you're seeing right now, the 13 to 25 year olds roughly, they're the ones, they're the third generation. So they're the ones who are basically going to bankrupt the healthcare system.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you're already seeing it in my generation and the generation before, in between me and them, is why do you think all these fertility clinics exist?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah, and it's been proven. You change someone's diet and you get them on track, people who have difficulty conceiving, and they almost conceive immediately.
Yeah. I've heard that in like the paleo community. Like, people go strict paleo, you know, and they start getting, you know, active and fit. They're knocking up people, you know, so quick. Which,
left and right. I mean, the CrossFits are nothing but orgies. I mean, it goes crazy.
Yeah.
But you know, it's also a fact that the human body, once it is exposed to stress, or it is not able to run properly through proper, you know, macronutrients and micronutrients, the first thing it shuts off is reproduction.
Yes.
Because that is something you do not need to survive. You only need it to reproduce. You do not need it to survive. So it's the first thing it goes after.
Yeah.
And plus, why as Mother Nature, best way to put it, why would Mother Nature want a sick, stressed organism to reproduce at that point? Because it's going to reproduce another sick organism.
Yeah.
So that's just genetic wonder at its best. I mean, our bodies, our DNA is so complicated. It is the most complicated computer code there ever was written. And for these asinine, you know, genealogists, people who think they know how it works, is bullshit. They don't have a clue how our DNA really works.
Yeah, it reminds me of, so I can't remember where I came across it, but I came across a Native American fertility remedy. So if a Native American brave was having trouble knocking up his wife, he would be put on a 30-day nothing but bear fat diet. He could only eat bear fat. And at the end of the time, guaranteed to knock up his wife. I mean, guaranteed. It's going to happen.
Whoa, keto clarity.
Yeah, saturated fat is essential for sex hormones.
Yes, and exactly. I was telling a friend of mine recently to start eating high cholesterol right before bed, because cholesterol is transformed to testosterone somewhere around midnight. Exactly. So it's like a quick testosterone boost. There you go.
Cholesterol, saturated fat, and vitamin D.
Yes.
You need all those together and not be exposed to a lot of stress. Yes. And it is amazing. And it's amazing to me, the simplicity of it, when you just break it down. And that's what I try to do with the Primal Power Method, is people are pretty amazed that my books are 150 pages or less. I did that for a reason. I've read the 400-page, you know, Bibles on paleo and nutrition, and they glaze my eyes over. I'm in the business and I have a hard time reading it and understanding it, how is the general consumer going to be able to utilize it?
Yes.
And that's why I did it on purpose. I mean, and I've been told, everyone who's read those books and they read mine, they go, oh my God, I wish I would have just started with yours. And I go, yeah, because if you want to know more, those books are great. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of really good information in them. But to start there,
no,
I think doesn't work for the average American, because when you're immersed in it, it doesn't seem that complicated to you when you live and breathe it every day. But to the common American, this stuff is flat out Latin. I mean, yes, it is crazy talk.
Yeah. I remember when I read the Paleo Solution, there was whole chapters. I'm just like, nope, not reading this, you know, and it was like super heavy into the science, which, you know, I could see, you know, myself now, you know, I dig into that and I get sort of geeked out on it. But most people just want to know, what do I do? You know, and they want brief explanation of like, you know, why don't I eat beans? Oh, the anti-nutrients and this and that. Okay. So, you know, but they don't need to know, like, it just goes over their head. You know, just.
Yeah. The molecular structure of the, you know, the phytic acid or the lectins, and you're all, I don't need to know this. I really don't need to know how this molecule interacts in my body and causes this chain react. I don't need to know that.
No.
You know, and don't get me wrong. It's great information, but the average American, you will lose them within 2 minutes if you start there. And that's what the book's about. And what I was trying to do was reach, you know, the most common everyday Joe and Jane. Yes. I wanted to write it so my mom could understand it, so my sister could understand it, so my friends could understand it. And that was the point. And I realized I think I'm actually the first person to ever do it because I'm pretty familiar with all the books out there.
Yeah,
I write it from my perspective. So people who know me and have listened to interviews, they go, oh my God, when I read your book, it was like you were talking to me. And I go, yeah, because I actually wrote my book.
Yeah.
I wrote it. That's me.
I think a problem with a lot of those books is you have an author who's got an editor or a publisher that's like, you need to make it longer. You need to put more stuff in it.
Yeah. So what you made me think of was when I read Stephen Hawking's book, A Brief History of Time, he was told by his publishers that you will lose, and I forget the number, X amount of readers for every equation you put in the book. He was allowed to put one equation in the entire book, and that was E equals MC squared.
Wow.
That's the only one they would allow him to put in the book. Everything else was just normal, down-to-earth words.
The equation that everybody's heard and half of the people don't understand it.
Exactly.
Well, now I need to read the book. I never read it because I was scared that it would be nothing but gobbledygook science and I would just go to sleep.
I read it and I really liked it. So, I mean, it's a quick read. If, you know, pick it up secondhand and give it a read.
You got it secondhand.
I'll just get it. I'll just, get it Kindle or something.
Yeah, there you go. So, next up, I've got, and I like that you have the keep it simple strategy. That's what we like here. What would be your biggest nutritional advice to someone that, you know, a lot of Americans are pretty much ignorant of all things nutrition. They believe what the government tells them, which is wrong.
Yeah.
So what would you tell to that person that doesn't know anything?
The simplest is learn and understand insulin and control your sugar intake. I mean, that's as basic as I can get it. And if you control that, just that alone, you will be far healthier than you are now.
For years, sugar was my biggest nutritional concern. I pretty much would tell people if they just watch their sugar intake, that would be like, that's like half the battle. That's half the battle.
Yep.
Recently I've changed my biggest nutritional information in. As much processed foods as you can avoid, the better. Like, people are worried about too much sugar. Well, I mean, not too much sugar, too much salt and too much sugar, which is byproducts of throwing that shit in, you know, processed
foods. Everything processed has sugar in it, to the point.
Corn
syrup.
That's
the thing. If you control your sugar, you're going to be avoiding processed foods. It works hand in hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, the American diet is so saturated with sugar. Sugar works like cocaine in your brain. It fires all the same reactors.
Sure.
And
cocaine,
it basically created a culture full of addicts.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and that's how I tell people, too. The hardest part of changing your health will be dealing with sugar, and it takes 12 to 18 months for you to break the addiction. No one wants to tell them that in the diet industry. Everyone wants to give them the 21-day sugar detox or whatever. Oh. It sounds great. It sells books, but it's bullshit. No one can break the addiction to sugar in 21 days. And you have to realize that. Once you realize that, and I don't tell people to use it as a crutch, but it's just like heroin. You got to taper yourself off. You gotta, you know, you gotta take it a little slower. I know some people who have done it cold turkey. Very few. Very few have succeeded because the withdrawals are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nausea, headaches, you know, crabbiness, you know, lethargic. and, you know, eyes burning and skin itching. I mean, you name it. And I tell them, I go, that's what you're going, that is a withdrawal. That is a typical withdrawal from a drug.
Yeah.
And once they get it, I go, if you could taper yourself off and, you know, try and avoid that serious pain, you'll do a heck of a lot better.
Yes.
See, they even, that, the tone even agreed.
Yeah. I, 21 day fix. Yeah. I had a similar question one time. I had this, friend ask me, what would I suggest, like for a detox? Like they wanted a smoothie or something, you know, and they're like, James, what's your suggestions for a detox? Eat real food. No, James, for a detox, eat fucking real food. And this went on, and she just wanted me to say, you know, what do I want her to throw in a smoothie?
Well, there's a whole industry based on smoothies.
I hate smoothies.
Detox. I mean, it blows me away. These websites pop up every day. There's a really well-known one right now, Food Babe, complete garbage that literally has no background nutrition. And the whole premise is drink smoothies. And I'm like, huh? I mean, don't get me wrong. A detox smoothie here and there. Yeah. Heck yeah. To think that that's an actual diet and that's how you, no. Your body will detox if you eat the proper foods. That's what your body does.
Yeah.
You know, meat, protein and fats are to build and restore and for energy as well. Obviously fat, most energy dense, but your fruits and vegetables are detoxifiers. You know, they're prebiotic, they're detoxifiers, and that's how they work. And that's why everything works in this balance. You know, have some people, can they survive primarily off fat and protein? Well, yeah, because they've lived that way for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yes.
But for the majority of us, we have to eat fruit, vegetables, protein source from animal sources, and nuts and seeds. Pretty basic.
Pretty basic, exactly.
But we screw it up. We somehow screw it all up. And people hate the fact that I've made things so simple. I think that's one reason is some of those people really don't like me. And plus, I call them out. Bullshit's bullshit. I mean, if you want to go that road and you just want to sell something and do your network marketing and throw up all your affiliate links, and don't get me wrong, I got affiliate links too, but that's not what my business model's built off of.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know, but you're doing a huge disservice in the health industry. You know, you're nothing but a rubber turd salesman. That's all you are. Why don't you go do something else? I mean, what in life makes you think that's okay to do that?
Yeah.
And that's where I get aggravated. I guess it's just my older crankiness, I guess is the way to look at it, because I'm quite a bit older than most of these people.
Yeah.
And I've seen enough BS in my life and I've investigated enough of it. You're not getting anything by me. So yeah, it's just aggravating. I feel bad for the consumer, because the consumer and the average American is the one who gets duped.
Yes. I'm 33. And just from the few years I've ran, the Survival Punk, website, you kind of start to see like the back end of the internet, which has some really dark, nasty corners. I've got, you know, offers occasionally for deals, like, you know, affiliate links and click through marketing. And I'm just like, go fuck yourself. Like, I want nothing to do with them. Like, I've taken a few opportunities here and there. But they're things that I genuinely can get behind, that I really support, you know, and some of them are just like, no, just don't ever talk to me again. Just go away.
Well, and I think you guys, and I think the survivalist community and the prepper community sees a lot of it too, because it's in those communities as well.
Yeah.
But in the paleo and health industry and the natural health, ancestral health, it's really raised its ugly head. Yeah, and it's in anything. I mean, it's just in anything out there that's on the internet. But I'm with you. It's like, why? And all they care about is trying to figure out how to siphon off your followers and email and blast them to death.
Yeah.
And I go, you're nothing but a spammer. I mean, that's all you are, you know? And I just did my first online webinar. That was redundant. Webinar.
Yeah.
I've never done one before because I refuse to do them. Exactly. I've been hit up by a ton of people and I go, I'm not going to be known for that.
Right.
That's not what I'm about. But the guy was really genuine. We had a long talk. He had never done one before, and he was heading it. And I said, you know what, man? I went, you're legit. You're trying to do it right. So I did the first one, and I'll see how it goes. But I, even that, I felt a little dirty doing it. Can you guys hold on just 1 second?
Yeah.
I gotta grab my dog real quick.
Let me pause it.
You can probably hear him breathing.
Yeah,
I've been living in my travel trailer for the last 7 months, so I'm probably going to be living in it for the next couple years, so it should be interesting.
Oh, fun. Fun. I'm going to finish up the show with that, but before we get there, I've got, just another question or two. Yeah, another question or two. And it's on workouts. So,
My interviews always run long, James. I don't know what it is, man. I guess I talk too much, but they always are long.
You're totally invited back on the show. I'm having a great conversation, and we're actually kind of cramped for time this time. Otherwise, I mean, we were on a friend's podcast that ran like 3 hours recently, just because it was so much fun.
That's awesome.
I could see us doing that. Like, I really gotta go. Sorry.
I can talk about anything, and you know what? I don't have no filter. I don't care.
Awesome.
I really don't care if I offend anyone. I'm over it.
So tell me a little bit. We've covered nutrition fairly well. So let's talk about working out, being active, being physical.
Okay.
What do you tell clients? Like, what do you suggest, like, for working out?
Well, with most clients, they're starting off, and they're pretty surprised. I just tell them to walk. I say, try and walk at least once a day, twice a day if you can, walk at lunch, and then walk after dinner for 30 to 45 minutes. Cause I tell them most people are not ready for an exercise routine of any sort.
Mm-hmm.
Their joints aren't ready. They're overweight.
Yeah.
You know, their muscles aren't prepared. I mean, it's just an accident waiting to happen to let them jump into, you know, like going to a CrossFit box and you're 80 pounds overweight. Probably not a good idea.
Yes.
You know, you got to learn to walk before you run. And so I tell them that, and I have great success with that. I tell them for the first 2 to 4 weeks, let's just focus in on walking and getting the diet down. And then from there, if they're more advanced, it's just basic primal compound exercises. It's, you know, air squats, you know, push-ups, pull-ups, normal planks, bicycle crunches. I mean, it's just real basic stuff. And they go, well, this stuff is so simple. I'm ready for the event. I go, you're doing what I do. I mean, you're looking at what my exercise routine consists of primarily. And they're pretty shocked by that too, but I also mix in some free weight, stuff. So basically, I'm a big Arnold principle guy. I think bodybuilders, especially the old guys, had it pretty close to right.
Yes.
Or as compound movements, they were basic caveman movements. I mean, shoulder press, bench press, you know, squats, even though I'm not a big fan of weighted squats, I'm really not. I think you can get a lot out of them. I like gorilla squats, which is, I don't know if you know what that is, but that's just picking a dumbbell up between your legs and doing a squat that way.
Interesting.
It takes a lot of pressure off your lower spine. My spine is fused, so, I've really had to adapt and learn how to, not do, you know, stupid exercises like loading up a squat rack.
Yeah.
And that's, I just keep it very basic and it's simple repetitions. I go, hey, you know, on light days, try and do 14 to 16 reps. On heavier days, you know, we can do 8 reps, try and get there down to 4 reps, depending what their goal is. You know, I work with athletes. I have a whole progression I take athletes through, which is quite different than what I'll do with an everyday client.
Yes.
Because they're looking for power. They're looking for size and strength, but the exercises are very similar. It's just different weighted, different reps and different weighted. But yeah, even curls, people think, I have to explain this to many CrossFit members and box owners because they used to give me crap because I'd have to work out after a CrossFit workout because it wasn't enough. 10 minutes of killing myself was great, but I've grown up doing this stuff. I grew up an athlete. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, that's it. I kind of need something else.
Yeah.
So I'd go do, you know, workout, and I'd go over there, do curls and maybe some pushups, and they're all, oh, nice, man. Yeah, curls. I go, well, it's a functional exercise. And they go, no, it's not. No, man. It's a snatch. A snatch is more functional. I go, yeah, not really. A snatch has no function whatsoever. But let me show you how a curl works. Okay. Yeah. You're going to hold your baby. That's a curl. You're going to stack logs or twigs and carry them. That's a curl. You're going to have to pick up items and bring them back and maybe rest them on the front of your shoulders at times. That's a curl. And they started, yeah, I go, don't mess with me. I've been around. I mean, I don't do anything that doesn't have a point. And so it's like kind of explaining some of the basics to people. And not only that, but hey, curls make you look good.
Yeah.
Let's face it, guys want guns, just like everyone wants abs.
Exactly.
You can't get abs if you don't do any sort of core workout. So, and core is totally functional, but one of the most functional exercises I'll tell people is a simple push-up. Push-ups and pull-ups are the most functional because you literally have to contract your entire body to do them correctly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to comment on the weighted squats. I definitely would not suggest, you know, newbies and beginners to try doing weighted squats without proper training from a qualified person. You know, like for years, I did squats wrong, like most people do. If you just sort of like, you know, you look at it like on, a movie or something, you're like, okay, I got that. You know, and there's so many mechanics in it.
And everyone's mechanics are different. Everyone's stance will be slightly different because everyone's hips will align differently. Everyone's spinal arc is different. There's a lot of things going on. And yeah, I tell people squats, you know, for the newbie, just stay away. Stay away from a weighted squat. It's the easiest way to really, really hurt yourself.
Yeah. I would say if you're not going to go get proper training, which I think you should, I suggest, have you read or looked at Starting Strength by Mark Ripetoe?
No, I've heard of it though.
Yeah. I mean, basically if you do a quick Google search, you'll get the gist of it. But he breaks the movements down to like several pages of like, you should do this. And it's really spot on. And it's basically like, there's a couple exercises that he recommends, and that's how you build your core strength. You know, squat, deadlift, bench press, push press, you know, those core exercises build, you know, your strength. You could get strength based on that. You don't need to learn the snatch. Let's see, I've used the snatch in a real world situation once, and that was carrying a pool table, in a box out to someone's car one time, and I snatched it up to, you know, my collarbone level to carry it out there.
Yeah.
And that's the only time.
And that's the thing. Powerlifting movements are specifically to powerlifters. It's a sport.
Yes.
To the average person, they are non-functional and they make absolutely no sense, especially in high repetition. And that's where me and CrossFit definitely don't agree. I like CrossFit. I like, the tribe mentality. I like a lot of the basic movements. The powerlifting for high repetitions and kipping are asinine to me. I mean, that's why their injury rate is so high, is on those exercises alone.
Yes.
They could cut those out and get better results and retain their clients much better by changing that philosophy. I mean, doing cleans for repetition sounds sexy and great. And the problem with humans is we love to compete. So what are we going to do? We're going to do a few extra that we probably shouldn't have done because our form sucks.
Yeah.
And another problem is I don't care how many of them you do, you're going to lose form, and it's just like kettlebell swings. It's the same concept. It takes just a little bit off to have a massive, massive injury. I mean, you don't have to be off by much. And I've seen it happen time and time again and watch people do them who are inexperienced and literally blow their back out, blow their wrist out, blow their shoulder out, and I just go, you didn't have to do that. You really didn't have to do that.
Yeah. So, Kyle that runs the Rational Survival podcast, he was like, oh, and Gary doesn't like CrossFit, and we both CrossFit. Like, I've not gone in a while. And you listed some good reasons.
And that's the thing. I love CrossFit. I think it's a great concept, but I just think it wasn't thought through very clearly. Anyone who has a background, real strong background in exercise, which me and several friends do, we actually all mock that side of it because anyone with a concept, an idea in it laughs at it because it is literally stupid. It is a horrible business model because you're killing your clients.
I would say, so when I decided to do CrossFit first, and I went into it, 50 pounds overweight at the time. I went into it with a lot of research, you know, watching videos, researching CrossFit. And then when I found my box, are you there, Gary?
Son of a bitch.
And we've lost Gary again. This is becoming a habit.
What's the second time? What the fuck happened?
I'm not sure.
Can't pick up here. Hello?
Skype didn't like my kipping comment.
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up before the internet gods kill us.
I'll finish on kipping real quick. It's real basic.
Okay.
I don't know what you guys think, and I'll get your opinion, because I want to hear what you guys think, since you guys are hardcore CrossFitters, and I've done CrossFit. I ended up, like everyone else, injured. So, if I've got decades of experience in exercise and I get injured, yeah, it just kind of tells you something.
Yeah.
But, are you recording?
Yes, go ahead.
With kipping, my attitude is very simple. It's, why would you half-ass a pull-up when you can just do a pull-up? You know what I mean? If you're going to compete, we used to compete as kids doing pull-ups all the time. Just do a pull-up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why do I have to put undue pressure on my wrist, elbows, and rotator cuff by doing some circle jerk half-ass pull-up? I don't know what the reason is. I don't get it.
I definitely...
Am I missing something?
I mean, I see the CrossFit reason for the kipping pull-up, and that's to get more work done over that period. But I see too many people just get into, you know, CrossFit and then don't have a workout background, that can't do a normal pull-up, that go straight to kipping pull-ups. And that I feel is the biggest problem. If you don't have a solid base of standard pull-ups, you shouldn't resort to kipping pull-ups because you don't have that musculature to handle, you know, throwing yourself around like that. You're going to tear muscles. That's a lot of injuries come from that. What I was saying on, you know, CrossFit is I spent a lot of time researching the boxes in the area I was looking to work out to find one that, was competent. Because there are a lot of jackasses out there that should not be training people. And
that's anything. You know, that's in a LA Fitness, a 24, that's in any gym.
Yes.
That is not specific to CrossFit at all.
That goes back to your education. You educate yourself on nutrition, you educate yourself on fitness, and you find a good coach who's going to train you responsibly. And, you know, if you're out there, you know, doing, you know, clean and jerks, you know, in a timed amount, you want a coach to be like, your form's sloppy. You stop it now. You don't want a coach okay, good, go faster. You know, you want that one like, put that shit down. Your form's bad. You're gonna rip something. Cause I was yelled at many times. If my form, you know, went to hell, you know, on say a deadlift, which is, you know, you're heavy deadlifting, your form's off, you can really tweak something. And I did. And I had coaches, you know, come over there like, no, stop right now. And that's what you want. You want a coach that will push you, but will call you out when you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good boxes out there. And I actually talk about that in my books about how to find, you know, the person and gym that fits you. So you have to, it's almost like an interview process.
Exactly.
I tell them, go look at 3 to 6 gyms and which one do you feel comfortable with? And it, a good box, they'll bring you out slowly. And they'll, even if you have experience, I mean, the box I went to in the beginning, they worked me through very slowly, even though I knew most of the lifts. And I liked that. I was like, no, that's how it should be done. Yeah, I know the lifts, but God, I haven't done them since I was, you know, in my 20s. And, you know, for that, it's, yeah, you have to be careful, and it's anything in life. It's nothing different. I mean, that's what I mean. People think I bag on CrossFit, but I really don't. I'm just pointing out, I bag on all the dumb personal trainers at the gyms too, who have 60-year-old women doing one-legged hops across the gym who are 100 pounds overweight. And I'm going, whoa, what are you doing? Why would you ever do that? I mean, she's 60 years old and she's very overweight. What is hopping on one leg across the gym doing?
Yeah.
It's just part of the protocol. You got to check that box.
Exactly. I definitely knew I found the right box when I went to go meet the coach, and he had a military pack to carry his gear in and an infidel hat. I'm like, I like this guy. We're friends. So it's definitely, yeah, find the right people. I'm just a comment. Andy. Oh. I don't know. Are the kids? No. Maybe somebody's out in the middle of nowhere. I don't understand. Doodling there?
No.
Gary?
Yeah.
Oh,
probably. Okay. Sam's probably pretty busy too. I bet you that's why.
Yeah.
He's doing that.
I'm gonna go ahead and just, we're gonna wrap up the show here. I had a blast talking to you, with all the internet, problems and, confoundery.
Oh, no problem, man. I had a great time being on. You guys are good dudes, man. Kyle, I told Kyle, refer me on to try and get through. It's kind of hard. Some of the survivor, they just won't even get back to me. Some of the podcasts, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I contacted a couple people in the paleo world, and were just like, no response. And, you know, I'm a jackass. So I'll call them out, like the Diane Flippy, whatever her name is.
Oh, she's a twat.
Yeah, totally never responded back to me. I don't know if you know the blogger, Grass-Fed Girl.
Oh, God. Yes.
Totally never responded to me. Like, I sent emails when she's promoting her book. And she's even like, I was in a group that she's in because she's from Nashville. So I was in like a Nashville Whole Foods group. And she was like, hey, shoot me an email. So I shot an email and no response. And I'm like, well, go fuck yourself. Whatever.
No, they're truly jackasses. And if they can't figure out a way to take something from you, they want nothing to do with you.
Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah, that's how I am. I just look for the people, you know, who I get along with. Kyle was a great dude. You guys are great. You know, I'm just looking for a group of people where I fit in. Yes. And, I'd love to have you guys on, my show. I just, like I said, I do a YouTube show. If you guys aren't camera shy.
Oh, no.
No, God, no.
Not at all.
And, yeah, we can get into all kinds of good stuff on there. But, yeah, I'd like to eventually get into my off-the-grid project, too, sometime.
Yes, I was going to get into that, but with the internet and we actually have something we have to do, which ran off. So next time we will not have anything to do, and this could go as long as – long as we want.
We'll have you back on and we can do the whole thing about the off-grid project.
Exactly. Although I feel like we could talk so much more about nutrition. Like I had to skim over some things and, the constant disconnects this episode, just kind of was like, oh, I'm just whatever.
It gets choppy after a while. Yeah. And people, I notice if it's a brutal recording, they'll just eventually tune it out anyway. They won't even listen to it.
So I'll have links in the show notes to where people can find you if you just want to mention, you know, where people can find you at.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. the best place to get a hold of me is at www.primalpowermethod.com. That is my main website. I have all my social media is linked there, my YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. And also all my blog is on there. I have a ton of free information. That's where my store is. I sell supplements. I sell my books, obviously, and I sell some very specific exercise equipment that is phenomenal and cheap and works anywhere. And I'm getting some more food products in. I'm getting ready to put on my own beef jerky, grass-fed beef jerky.
Delicious.
Some grass-fed beef sticks and some primal chicken cranberry bites. So I'm starting to expand my store out, so keep checking back. There'll be a lot of good stuff on there.
I definitely will. And sadly, I've not read the Primal Power Method, but I'm going to pick it up. It's, 150 pages? Yes. I think I own every other paleo primal book, on Kindle. With some of, to be honest, I've not finished most of them because they are too damn long. But yeah. At 150 pages.
I'd like to get your opinion on it too. I love hearing back from people to tell me, and they usually go, oh yeah. Yeah, that was much easier.
Yes. Should have started here, but I didn't.
Yeah. And I don't care if they go, you know what, Gary, that book sucks. Oh, my God. I go, hey, I'll take all criticism. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gary, it has been really great having you on the show. And like I said, you're invited back on here anytime want to come on. And we'll talk more about your off-the-grid project, nutrition, and everything else that tickles your fancy. Thanks for coming on, Gary.
Thanks a lot, James and Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Gary Collins.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and hang up. It's great having you on, Gary. Anytime you want back on the show, just drop me a line.
No problem. Yeah. And like I said, we'll schedule something on my end. And also, just shoot me the link and then I can blast it out on social media and everything.
I sure will. And I'll try to look up the other links we talked about and shoot those along with them. And,
perfect.
Yeah. Can't wait to talk to you again.
All right, guys. Well, have a good one.
All right, bye.
Take care.
That was fun and frustrating. And
yeah,